Good evening and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show on Sunday, April 26th, 2020. Let's welcome our presenter, Renee Boyce. Renee, good evening.
Hi, good evening, Ronnie. How are you doing?
Well, happy to be here and looking forward to hearing from you and your guest.
Yes, good evening to everybody, to all of our listeners. It's really good to be back here with you again. I am your host, Dr. Renee Boyce. This is the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. If you want to reach us in the studio, 434-1790. If you want to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. So 434-1790 to call into the studio, or to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. And just before I introduce my guest, I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to all of you who tune in every Sunday. I get WhatsApp messages and some phone calls, and people, well, nobody's really meeting me on the streets now because everybody's under quarantine, but previously, and the people were saying that they really do enjoy the program. They have been learning a lot, so I'm really grateful for your feedback and for the fact that the show is achieving its purpose, that people are learning different things about health. And speaking about health, we want to welcome this evening Mr. Lennox Rochester for part two of our Coping with COVID. Good evening, Lennox.
Good evening, Renee. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for being so gracious. I understand that you are very busy, and I really do appreciate, because the listeners really were asking for us to have another opportunity to chat with you. So on the behalf of everybody who is out there listening, thank you so very much.
That's okay. The pleasure is all mine.
So before we get started into the meat of the matter, coping with COVID, I think it would be remiss of me as a physician to not comment on something that I've noticed. It's a very worrisome trend, I think. So we've gone the route as a nation for persons who are out in public. The strong recommendation is for persons to wear a mask. Now, I have been very satisfied that there are a number of chins, foreheads, and cheeks that are going to be protected from COVID-19, but not the noses and mouths that need to be protected. Several persons are wearing the mask incorrectly. If they're wearing them, they're wearing them under their chin. And as I've been going around out of necessity, I've seen people fiddling with their mask. So this is the false sense of security that we've been talking about, where persons think that everything is okay once you wear a mask. It's just a reminder that the mask is supposed to fit securely over your mouth and nose, and that as much as possible, there aren't supposed to be any pockets or loose spaces around the side of the face as well. And once you put the mask on after having washed your hands and put on the mask correctly, that means that you fasten the mask with the elastic bands or the strings and not with the front of the mask, that you don't touch it again until you take it off. And when you take the mask off, you remove it by slackening the elastic or loosening the strings, but you don't take the mask off by removing it from the front, because then that defeats the whole purpose again of having worn the mask in the first place. And once you have worn your mask, if it's a disposable mask, you get rid of it one time, put it in the garbage, wash your hands. And if it's a cloth mask, you make sure that you wash it and that it is dried properly. So make sure that if you are wearing a mask, that you wear it correctly. And you still have to practice those other things. Physical distancing, catching those coughs and sneezes, preferably in a tissue, but into the fold of your elbow as necessary, and thorough hand washing. So let's jump right in. Last week when we were chatting with Lennox, we were talking about children and the signs to look out for something going wrong with the children. So let's pick up there, Lennox. Let's remind our listeners about what should we look for in children who might be undergoing some sort of negative fallout as a result of being under, I don't want to say house arrest, but being at home.
Well, you see, you're looking for a behavior that is going to be different from what you consider the norm, right? Well, we have to bear in mind that people will react differently. You understand? And this is a very different situation for all of us. But you're looking for things like excessive crying or irritation, especially in younger children. You're also looking for returning to previous behaviors that you thought the child had outgrown. For example, bedwetting, toileting accidents, right? You're also observing them for changes in mood, excessive sadness, and I dare say excessive excitability as well. You're also looking for things like unhealthy eating habits or disturbances in sleeping habits.
When we talk about the unhealthy eating habits, I think that one might be a bit challenging to distinguish now, because it seems as though once children are on vacation or any prolonged absence from school, that children tend to eat their families out of house and land. Has that been your experience?
It is. You see, but as parents, we have some responsibility. Even if we allow them a couple snacks, we have responsibility to make sure that what they're consuming isn't going to do them harm. Now, this may become a challenge, because we've got to talk about expense and all that. But the reality is we've got to take a step to safeguard their health, because you don't want your child surviving COVID and then ending up diabetic or something like that.
That's
a worrying thing, you know. So you've got to pay close attention to that. And it may mean enduring a few headaches. What do I buy for these kids and stuff like that? I came across something today that's very interesting, use of fruit to create different design, even pizza made of fruit. It's very, very creative. And I remember last week we talked about, you know, increased creativity, all right? And we have to use our heads and come up with other things that would cause minimal damage, but maximum sustenance.
Right. So we do, I completely agree with you. A couple of shows back, we had Professor Anne St. John on, and we also had Mr. Brian Payne, the nutritionist, on. And both of them spoke about the concerns that we have with Professor St. John, are particularly focusing on our children, about the childhood obesity that's going on, about the general obesity that we have in our society. I think that one of the things that we have the power to do now as a people, with the constraints within which we find ourselves, would be to make sure that we eat as properly as we can. When I first got the opportunity to go into the supermarket, I almost felt as though I was on, remember that show that we used to have, Run for Your Money?
Yes.
That's how I felt when I went into the supermarket. My intention was to minimize the amount of time that I was in the supermarket,
just
both because
wrap,
I didn't want to put myself at risk, and I knew that there were other people who would need to get in as well. So
this whole, you know, lockdown stuff provides us opportunity to enact some behavior change, you know.
Yes.
It's going to be stressful at first, but they're there, they're not going anywhere, and we introduce some healthy things gradually, and then that becomes the norm rather than the exception, because it is critically important. Now, you're not just going to do that, you know, suddenly like that, though. You'll have some talk, and we must use demonstration, because demonstration is a very, very good teacher. We must demonstrate that we are doing it too, all right? But just to carry on, though, to talk about some other things we're looking for, if we have them doing tasks, which we should during some time of the day, we're looking for issues with attention and concentration. We're also looking for things like complaints of headaches and body pains.
Yeah, moans and groans.
And stuff, right. You will get some of those, but then you may get the persistent and consistent ones, which you have to analyze what's the cause of them, really. Avoidance of activities that they enjoyed in the past, that's critical. They're avoiding these things. For example, your child, because they're very creative and stuff like that, you know, they like to play Uno and Scrabble and stuff like that. All of a sudden, they're not wanting to do that anymore. They're avoiding it. That's a red flag there, something is going on, you need to pay attention.
Pay attention. And I think that's the important phrase, pay attention. It's
yes.
not enough for us as parents and guardians and grandparents and so on to notice these things in our children, notice these cues that they're giving us, and not act upon them, not to do anything about them. Because we've done something wrong.
Yes, we have to pay attention and we have to respond, right? Because responding is critical. Now the thing is, and on the whole topic of paying attention, we've also really, really got to pay attention to ourselves as well, you know?
Oh, yes. Never a truer word was spoken.
Because what has been happening, and I don't want to jump the gun, Renee, but right now we're looking at a redefinition of, you know, the divide between work and home.
Mm-hmm.
People are now working from home.
From home. Mm-hmm.
And there was no practice for it, really. Nothing. It came suddenly. Right? So you've got to deal with all your scheduling, all your structuring. You're there. The children are around. You seem available to them. They're not going to understand. Well, you are here. Why can I come to you now? And you yourself have got to deal with, because some of us, you know, we've got this thing, I don't take my work home. We keep a separate divide. We're not doing that now. So we have to make some internal adjustments, and one of the key adjustments is an adjustment of attitude. Yeah, because
okay.
that then determines the kind of behaviors that we incorporate and which will determine success or lack thereof.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the problems that we find ourselves encountering now. And I'll give you a very, very true example.
Uh-huh.
One child has a class at 9 o'clock. The other child has a class 10 o'clock. And you know that the 9 o'clock class is not going to finish at 10 o'clock. And then the adult in the home has work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that person's attention is split between concentrating on work. And if they have a meeting for themselves at work, it's hopefully they have more than one device in the house. But then you also, if you're fortunate enough to have more than one device, you have to split your attention between attending to your work plus supervising the children on their devices.
Mm-hmm.
And this is... And the other thing that has been happening, we found that this is something new, as you've said. And we're all getting accustomed to learning how to go to school online, how to work online. And therefore, these things are fluid. So 1 minute a class is scheduled for a particular time, and then you get another notice, you've had your schedule set, but no, class is set for another time. What advice would you give to somebody who finds himself in such a position like this? And dare I say, this is the vast majority of persons at home with their children.
No, there's a component of mental health which speaks to meeting the demands of life, right?
Yes.
And this comes directly into that. Now, the fact of the matter is that I have recognized that the whole thing we call predictability is no more.
Right? I agree.
So we have got to come to terms with that. We set up schedules. They can change. Now, and the example that you outline is very interesting. But we haven't even spoken about the internet dropping and dipping and all that and creating a whole lot of frustrations. Right? Now, there's not a lot we can do about that per se. Right? What we do have to build into our schedule, if possible, is the possibility that something will not go to the time we've set it for, and then we may have to reschedule, we may have to put our stuff back. Now, it may mean that you may have a deadline, you may have to make some sort of negotiation with the powers that be to get that in later, because you've got to decide in your home, how are you going to prioritize?
Yes.
And that is critical, the priority you set on the activity. Now, depending on the ages of the children, there will need to be some supervision.
Yes, true. That's
all right?
Quite true.
Mm-hmm. You know, now, we've got 24 hours. Some of us get the children all sorted out. Then we do our stuff. that may work for some of us. Some of us are very, very good because this is where multitasking comes in. Some of us are extremely good at multitasking. Some of us use older children to help supervise the younger ones, and that can work depending on the structure you've got set up. But you've got to be very, very creative, and as they say. Now, people talk about think outside the box, right?
Yes.
My thing is throw away the box.
Oh, nice.
That might think, because the whole perception that there's a box around still give constraints on you.
Some sort of confinement.
You understand?
Agreed.
Get rid of the box. You've got task A, B, C to do. We've got to do them. They must be done. And get to it. Now, understand that we will not always be successful in that, though. And there will be an element of failure coming through. Now, failure does not necessarily, failure to complete a task or whatever does not necessarily make you a failure.
Make you a failure, right. And that's one of those phrases, you know, every time I have a guest on the show, he or she says something that I think needs to resonate with the listening public. Say that again, please.
Failing at something does not necessarily make you a failure, but it provides an opportunity for you to learn from what you did wrong, what you did not do, what steps you left out, what you did not consider, and it provides you an opportunity then to make right the next time it comes around. Because that's how we learn.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's how we learn. So it's important to incorporate that within our daily plan or whatever, the possibility that things will not go right, and then don't beat up ourselves because they didn't, but we decide, okay, yes, I see what has happened here. I need to do A, B, C instead of doing D, E, F, and go for it.
And all those persons who are the gurus at leadership and management and so on, they say that that's the difference between person A and person B. Person A and person B are being faced with the same circumstance.
Yes.
But the difference between the two is the lessons either A or B learns from whatever the situation is. So the person that thinks, okay, this is a failure, I haven't gotten it done, woe is me, they're not going to progress, as opposed to the other individual who says, okay, this has happened. How can I learn from this? How can make my approach different so that next time I encounter this particular situation, that I do something differently in order to accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish. So I have another clash between the two classes for my children.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that maybe I should speak to one person's teacher, for example, and ask for the homework to be submitted a little later, or perhaps ask for a recording of the class. So you do something a little differently because you've been exposed to something before, and you learn from it as opposed to let it sit down on you and stop you from progressing.
Right, because if it sits on you, it's going to create pressure, it's going to create anxiety on you, it's going to bog you down, and it's not going to be of any help. Now, being realistic, we are all at different levels.
That is true.
Sometimes we don't have the same aha moment at the same time. But the reality is that most of the time we get it eventually. All right, and then we have to do some damage control and some damage repair, and we have to be motivated enough to be able to do that. All right, now within the same home environment, I am noticing that it seems to be some distortion in the balance in work, leisure, and self-care.
With self-care, let me guess, yes. Self-care is the one that's not being given the attention that it deserves.
Absolutely. And that becomes a problem. Now, ledger has also been suffering because the reality is the opportunities for constructive ledger are greatly diminished.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to look at ways of increasing the ledger so that that balance is reestablished, because that balance speaks to us as human individuals being balanced in our daily lives and all that. So we've got to get that back into some sort of alignment, right? And yes, it will be different for all of us, but it's important because I've been hearing that some destructive leisure activities like drinking, smoking, watching pornography, and all these negative things have been creeping in. So we have really to watch that. And they don't only creep in with the adults.
Yes, the children.
With the children as well, because we have some very inquisitive youngsters as well. And
which is why supervision. Supervision is so important. No.
Yes, it is. You know, it is. It's critically important, and the task is for the parent to design his, and I'll use his and her household, that it is nourishing for the children, and it's also nourishing for the adults.
I remember the World Health definition of health from 1948, I believe. It really has not changed that much, where it defines health not merely just the absence of disease or illness, but a state of complete social, physical, mental, and some people add on spiritual, financial, and all the other O's, well-being.
Yes.
And I think that one of the most instructive pieces of advice I've ever been given in my life, and I'm going to share it, had to do with what the person called the air hostess model.
Mm-hmm.
Where the individual said, cast your mind to being on a plane, and the air hostess, he or she, is going to give you a rundown of where things are located on the plane and so on and so forth. And they give you that speech, and it says that if for whatever reason cabin pressure is lost, mast will come down from the overhead. Put your mask on first before dealing with others in your care. And when I think about it, the automatic response to a dangerous situation, to a crisis, is to deal with the children or the elderly or somebody who might be a bit incapacitated for whatever reason in our care. But that's not the way it should be. We have to secure ourselves first.
Absolutely. Because
so that we can efficiently deal with
and
everybody else in our care.
Deal with everybody else. Yes. Now, to carry on, you said you give a definition of health, right?
Yes.
Now, Brock Chisholm, who was the first Director General of World Health Organization, he said, without mental health, there can be no true physical health. Now, that is profound. Because the reality is, mental health is critically important. Now, I won't give you a definition by the U.S. Surgeon General, right?
Mm-hmm.
He describes mental health as successful performance of mental functions resulting in productive activities, fulfilling relationships with other people, and the ability to adapt to change and cope with adversity. Goes on to say, from early childhood until late life, mental health is the springboard of thinking, communication skills, learning, emotional growth, resilience, and self-esteem. Now, that there are three major tenets coming up there. Self, how I see self, how I relate to self, how I perceive self, others, how I see others, how I relate to others, including our interactive abilities, and then meeting the demands of life. So to meet the demands of life, one has got to be aware of who or what she is or he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be aware of how he relates, how he regards others, to be able to meet those demands of life, all right? So responsibility is on us to take care of us so that we can, in turn, take good, effective care of others. And that is critical, right?
I agree with you completely. It is so true. It is so true, Lennox. People might be wondering, you know, this is the Better Health Radio Show. Why are we talking about all of these social things and trying to cope and mental health? But like you just said, if your mind is not there, if your mental health is not in the peak shape that it should be in, you are as unhealthy as somebody that has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Absolutely.
You're not in good health at all.
No, and the reality is, notwithstanding the physical components of COVID-19, one has got to look at the mental health impact on ourselves and our society, right? The self-esteem, the self-worth issues, mm-hmm. right? And then that is coupled, there are people who are concerned about jobs because lots of people are on layoff and whatever else. The longer this continues, that whole dynamic will change. There are some people who have been given the green paper and stuff, so they effectively don't have jobs, as it were. All right? They're worried about being able to take care of themselves. And if you are concerned about taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else.
That is so, so true. And we're talking here about those things that make us anxious as a people. You had mentioned self-worth. You think about the individual who is the breadwinner, having heard that he or she has no longer been given that opportunity to work. You know, they've been laid off. It might be temporary. It might be permanently. And persons might find themselves in a state of anxiety. Like, as a nation, we are anxious because when the first case of COVID came, or when we heard that some of our Caribbean neighbors had some positive cases, we were just mm-hmm. waiting as a country to hear when we were going to get our first case. And after waiting for that first case, the next thing you were waiting for and hoping would never happen would be that first death. But there have been some good things with respect to the results. And I do have a few things that I can share, because I find that one of the things that seems to be happening now is that you're just getting so much bad news. But 7 more persons have recovered.
Good.
And we now have a total of 79 cases. And unfortunately, we've had 6 deaths. But there have been another 161 tests done, and there have been no new positives out of those 161 tests that have been done. So this is good news. I am by no means, by no stretch of the imagination, saying that we are out of the woods, because we're not. We're not out of the woods until we have no cases. However, we have to celebrate those small victories, as it were. And this is a victory for us, that there are people who are now being released. There are people who are coming out of isolation and going back into society. So this is something to really be celebrated. And we take this opportunity again to say thank you to those persons who are working so diligently at our isolation centers, the persons working at our public health, the Best of Santos lab. Thank you to all of you. We know that you are doing an excellent job keeping our people informed and keeping us safe. The Ministry of Health, the Government Information Service, and all the other social partners who are involved, thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My view is that the whole of the country is doing an admirable job in keeping stability and keeping our people safe and comfortable. And that is critically important.
Right, and the information that I just gave came from the Barbados Government Information Service. So you can listen out for some more updates on the testing and the numbers and so on that has been going on. We can look for the updates as they continue to come out. It is approximately 6:30 here in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean. For those of you who have just joined us, you are listening to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. I am your host, Dr. Renee Boyce, and I'm chatting with occupational therapist, Mr. Lennox Rochester, and we're talking about coping with COVID, part 2. So we started out, Lennox, with looking at those behaviors that we should try to pick up on in our children. Let's talk mm-hmm. about the behaviors in the adults that would give us a clue that something might be going on with those adults who are being negatively impacted by the COVID-19 infection.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the behaviors take on a kind of a similar
yes.
format, you know, but they may actually be, some of them may be actually at a higher level. For example, you have fear and worry about health and the health of loved ones, and that may present itself with a person being extra cautious, extra protective, and I dare say to some extent, extremely suspicious. Mm-hmm. Some people even add paranoid. There may also be changes in sleep and eating patterns, right?
From overeating all the way down to not eating.
Because exactly. Now, isn't it interesting that when we experience some form of anxiety, we come for eat.
That
we,
is true.
We go for the stats. And I think some research was done which says that chocolate has some substances
in
it.
I was just going to say chocolate is one of those foods that persons tend to go to because of the effects it has on some of the chemicals released as a result of using chocolate. I think that that's what the research has said.
Yes, and but then it shows up in the curves and the whatever that we don't want to look at, right? Then there's stuff like difficulty sleeping and concentrating. Now, let me just say, sleep is one of the greatest indicators of level of mental health. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, sleep is critical because when you sleep, your central nervous system repairs itself.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is, if you have one bad night, the next day you have a mental health problem. Now, notice I didn't say mental illness, mental health problem, because it can affect the way you interact with others, it can affect the way you concentrate and perform tasks, and it can actually affect your whole attention and attention to detail. Not so, it will affect your functioning.
Yeah, that is quite true.
And if that continues for any length of time, all of those things will increase. All right.
Now, and I don't know what caused me to do it, but I looked up just yesterday how long can an individual go without sleep, and it said once you've gone past 3 nights without sleep, you find yourself in some serious both mental health and physical health problems.
Absolutely. Yes. Sleep is critical. Now, sometimes people talk about sleep hygiene and that's paying attention to sleep, the quality of sleep, the level of sleep. And sometimes we don't pay much attention to that. But it is critical sleep because you have to get the body time to repair itself. If you don't, the body runs out of certain necessary things and you put yourself at risk. So we really need to pay attention to sleep, right?
I think now, one of those things, sorry to interrupt, but I've just...
That's all right.
One of those things that causes patients' jaws to drop, if you tell a patient that he or she is obese, you usually get a look of shock and horror. If you tell a patient that he or she should not have a television in the bedroom, that you should not be exposed to certain devices with lights and so on hour to 2 hours before you go to sleep. All of this is part of the practice of sleep hygiene and so on. Patients look
Absolutely.
At you as though you've just come out of space.
Yep.
But this is all part of sleep hygiene.
And the thing is, all electronic equipment emit certain types of waves which affect your body functioning. All right? Now, mm-hmm. people like to watch television because before they go off to sleep. I always say to people when I do my seminars, there is no way you should be watching CSI as a preparation for sleep. Because the episode would be finished and you would still be there, your mind going
racing
at 300, not trying to figure out maybe if he did it, maybe if it. No, you have to do things that really bring you right down, right? Because sleep is so critical. Now, what other things that may happen? You may have a worsening of a chronic health problem.
Yes, quite true.
Okay, and that's whether it's your worry can affect your diabetes. All right? Worry and uncertainty can impact your hypo or hypertension. All right? And things like those who have cancer problems and stuff like that, worry can affect that as well. There's also worsening of mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that can occur on many levels. Right? So we have to pay attention to that. And there may be increased use of alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs. I was made aware of an instance where a person is using cough syrup in the absence of a cough to effectively sleep.
Oh, dear.
Now, Renee, you can speak to that, the dangers of that.
Yes, there are so many. I don't think that we have the chance. But when we look at the reason, the underlying reason, this is actually illicit use of a legal substance.
Mm-hmm.
So you are allowed in your home to have antihistamines or antitussives or medication against cough.
Mm-hmm.
But you are supposed to take these medications at the prescribed dose, at the prescribed interval, for the prescribed reason. So chlorpheniramine, which is one of the drugs that you use for allergies, for example, you take it 4 to 6 hours, every 4 to 6 hours. You take, let's say you are a child, you take 5 mils, depending on the size of the child or size of the adult, and you take no more than is instructed on that particular box. Once you go over that, you're abusing that drug.
Mm-hmm.
Misusing that drug. And then when you start getting the behavior changes associated with using this drug, you start using it not for the reason that it's supposed to be, that's drug abuse. Unfortunately.
And people, I would say, stumble into those situations in their attempts trying to make or trying to create a healthy situation out of an unhealthy one. And
but back in the United States, a little while ago, maybe last year or perhaps year before, there was a crisis where many of the antihistamines were being used by children to make drugs. Let's put it that way. They were using a legal drug as an illegal substance, if that makes any sense.
Yes, yeah. And they've been mixing stuff and all that and all that. And I've heard stories of some music celebrities actually doing stuff and showing people and all that. So those are some very, very dangerous things that we need to keep away from.
And sometimes we are not aware that there are certain combinations of drugs that should not be used together. Sometimes when you use two particular drugs, the effect of one drug makes the effect of the other even more potent.
Yes.
So that something that should make you only mildly drowsy has the potential to put your lights out, as it were. So and people don't understand that not everybody responds to a particular drug in the same way. We have a common antihistamine that everybody uses here in Barbados. And one person can take this drug with no problem at all. So much so that that particular drug, let's call it drug A, doesn't seem to work in the individual.
Mm-hmm.
But another individual who takes that drug cannot even function. And we're talking the same dose. We're talking taking it at the same time. So different drugs affect people different ways. So we really should not. We are advising against using drugs that for uses that are not on the label of the drug, one. And two, in levels or amounts that exceed what is written on the box.
You know, it's interesting. There's a tradition in Barbados to everybody is a what they say. Everybody is a pharmacist.
Oh yes.
You know, they always tell people drink this and do that
and take that,
and
rub
that
with this
and all that. Which, you know, we have been lucky. But it's a dangerous practice to do stuff like that without real or appropriate medical attention or advice. You know? So that is something that we have to look out for. Now, there's no doubt that this situation can cause some stress.
No doubt at all.
No doubt. I mean, I've been noticing something, though, because I went out to do some banking, and there were some older people in the queue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the lament was, you know, they're talking about doing online stuff and all that, but we don't know nothing about this thing. Now, I must admit, Renee, I tried Right? And I consider myself a fairly sensible person. But it was tedious, it was frustrating, and I sat there and said to myself, but I can't imagine one of these older people trying to do this, you know? So I think somehow we've got to find a way, some sort of a protocol or whatever, to help people to do stuff like that, because the tutorials may not be the easiest to understand, and somehow we may have to simplify them so that that becomes a little bit more general. I don't know, but I just wanted to get that out there, right?
But this now, is perhaps one of the things that can come out of having gone through this crisis experience, where we recognize the inefficiencies in the many systems that we have, and this is where we learn. So the current system that we have for banking is not the best system for the elderly to understand. For example, I know that there are several elderly people who have online banking down to a T.
Yes.
But we're talking about the average elderly person who still prefers mm-hmm. to go to the post office to cash his or her pension checks and so on.
Right.
So some creative person, rather than getting into trouble with the law, can create a system, for example, and easy to use step A, step B, step C for those elderly persons, you know, with large characters that they can see properly, and something easy for them to do, make banking a little easier for them.
Absolutely.
And these are the different little things that can be done throughout this process rather than lamenting and saying, oh my goodness,
and here
I don't have work
creativity.
Anymore.
Yeah, here's where creativity comes to the fore,
mm-hmm.
right? And that can work. Now, also, there have been an increase in youth of electronic, the computer and stuff like that, right? Now, and this came to me the other day. People are using these devices and instruments and whatever else, but nobody's paying attention to effective seating and positioning.
Oh, yes, occupational therapist coming out with you.
There you go, there you go. So, we may very well end up with some repetitive strain injuries and positional damage as a result of this. So something needs to be done to put people out there, because you spend an hour or two working, your seating must be appropriate so that you don't put pressure on your neck, your back, your knees and whatever else. So there needs to be something sent out, so that people will be aware of this and their stations will be adjusted, you know, because
this is,
that is a health concern as well.
Right. This is a little plug for the, what's it called now, NACOSH, the National Advisory Committee on Occupational Safety and Health.
Yes.
I think one of our members is going to be on Channel 8 sometime. I know that this is one particular radio station, but this is about persons getting information, and this is about safety and health. So perhaps
mm-hmm.
persons can, if they're not otherwise occupied at VOB stations,
mm-hmm.
probably go across and get some more information. It's about getting information at this point in time. It's about being informed. It's about being arming ourselves with knowledge so that we can be in the best of health.
Absolutely.
So that's NACOSH. One of the representatives from NACOSH is going to be on on our local television station tonight. So I apologize if I've transgressed by advertising another entity, but I really do believe that the information would be helpful, since you just mentioned about occupational health.
Right, and that's important, because in this whole scenario that's going around, each of us have a responsibility to not only help ourselves and our families, but to help our communities. And if we are in receipt of information or skill or expertise that can prove helpful, it may be useful to share it in the correct media so it can be used wisely. You know, that is important. During this whole system, we actually need to, and I'm stressing again the need to take care of self.
Yes, I agree completely, Lennox.
I'm stressing this, because if you take care of self, then you will be more apt to take care of others because you know what it took. Now, I watched a program recently with these the psychologists, the husband and wife, and he made an interesting statement. He said that if you're not right with yourself, you will not be right with your family.
That is so true.
Because all your stuff will come up and impact them, so we go make things right with ourselves. It might, for some of us, it might take a little longer than others because some of us have spent our life running from ourselves. You see, and my thing is that you can only run from yourself for so long until eventually
you meet yourself
face to face with yourself and you have to deal with it. All right? Now, as I said last week, most of the distractions have been removed, so we've got to face up ourselves. Now, when we do our inventory and whatever else of ourselves, we're not going to always find everything that we like. But the important thing is we will know. We will know, if you want, think we want to call it this, we'll know our strengths, we'll know our weaknesses, we'll know our fears, and with this thing, fear is a very, very serious system that can stop all of us in our tracks.
Yeah, and I think for us going through this COVID-19, and I think one of the callers who telephoned in last week, it was fear of the unknown.
Yes.
When is this going to end? How much longer are we going to have to endure? And I am sure when the announcement came out about the enactment of Parliament that was going to be extended until the end of June, several people had small heart attacks or large heart attacks because most people thought that we were going to be under lockdown until June the 30th. You know, you just heard another date, something extended, and most people were like, oh my goodness gracious me, maybe we are locked down to June 30th now?
Yes.
So fear of the unknown.
And people didn't take time to process it.
Exactly.
They just heard and they automatically responded or reacted to a situation, right?
And that was their fear coming.
Yes, that's the fear
to the fore.
Yep. Because now this is uncertainty is worldwide, you know. So nobody, you can't go anywhere and get an answer because nobody has the answer. We're all working very hard to come up with answers, but nobody has the answer.
And so, I think we mentioned this last week when we were alluding to uncertainties. You
absolutely
deal with your uncertainties by focusing on
your certainties and the certainties you have. And one certainty I wanted to state now is that God will never leave us or forsake us.
That is so true.
And that is important. We have to hold on to that. Now, I'm not sure how much time we have left.
We have another 12 minutes.
Okay, but I just want to make a few points here, okay? The coping ways. Take breaks from watching, reading, listening to news stories.
I agree completely.
I will say that again. Take breaks from watching, reading, or listening to news stories. I know some of them are very, very, very exciting and whatever, and they draw you in, but then they leave you with all sorts of thoughts going through your head and all sorts of confusions going through your heart.
And before you go on about the news stories,
yes,
I want to stick a pin here and say, please get your information from credible sources.
Absolutely.
Now, not every source we would like to think is credible. It's credible, but there are certain sources that we can at least try to get our information from. These sources, that would be the World Health Organization,
mm-hmm.
that would be the Centers for Disease Control, our own Barbados Government Information Service, and our Ministry of Health. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go and listen to the news networks on cable and so on and so forth, but for trusted information, these are the sources that we would recommend.
Okay.
So take those breaks. Take those frequent breaks from watching these things.
Right. Take care of your body. That is critical. Do some stretches. Do some form of exercise. Don't just stay there, sat on the couch, because you're not going anywhere, because when you decide to move, you might not be able to move. But do something.
And this is the opportunity.
Fiddling your thumbs is not exercise.
This is the opportunity, Lennox. This is the opportunity for individuals to say, my doctor, my nurse, my healthcare provider, my physical therapist, my occupational therapist, they've all been speaking to me about my health. Perhaps this is the opportunity that you can take to get your health under control.
Yes.
Start eating properly, like Lennox suggested just now. Do that exercise. And there are several free videos online. So you don't have to go anywhere in order to exercise. If you've been prescribed medication, you try to take your medication as prescribed. And you continue to check in with your doctor and continue to check in with your other healthcare professionals. And you also check in with that person who helps you with your mental health.
Yes. Now, to talk a little bit about medication, I once came across an expression that says the unfortunate thing about medication is that it reminds you of what's wrong.
That is so true.
Now, that may be true. Okay. Now,
but the unfortunate thing about not taking medication
is that you're getting to trouble.
Understand.
Absolutely. But now watch this. When we take vitamins, what is our mindset?
This is going to make me better.
This is going to make me better. This is going to do me good. Let us create the mindset that the medication we are taking is vitamins for our body.
We have to have a positive mindset around
absolutely, and that is the next thing. We have to have a positive attitude and mindset towards stuff. Now the reality is that the way we think about something, our problem isn't the problem, you know.
That is what we think about the problem.
We think about the problem. That may sound complicated, but the reality is the problem might be there. But we think about the problem, and sometimes the way we think about the problem causes the problem to become more.
That is so true.
So that is our problem. So we have, and I'm stressing it, we have to change our thinking.
And one of the things I want to emphasize to those persons who are listening is that, Mr. Rochester and I, we are not coming from a place where we are telling you about taking medication and so on and so forth, and we've never been ill in our lives. That's certainly not true. Several healthcare professionals have gone through the ringer when it has come to health. Several persons have to take medication for one chronic illness or another. So it's not that doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals are just telling you, take your medication.
What I mean,
we understand.
I take medication daily. From 5 years ago, I had surgery for cancer.
Well, I'm very happy and excited that you are still here with us. I am,
and I intend to be here, so I'm going to do what I have to do to stay here. And that's basically it. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, another point, make time to unwind. Try to do some activities that you enjoy. Now, we have within us a great capacity for creativity, you know.
That is so true.
I remember, let me just share something with you. I remember being in England and studying and feeling kind of down sometimes. I went to the British High Commission and I got this huge poster. And it happened to be a poster of my home beach. A huge thing. I stuck it on the wall beside my bed. I would lie on the bed
when
I had free time.
And you would swim?
And I would pretend or take myself home on my home beach. When I opened my eyes, I saw coconut tree and sun and stuff. And that did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I then had to go, I was energized, I was, you know, empowered.
In a better place.
So the cold, dank air didn't bother me that much. No, that's just me. All right? I'm not saying everybody is like me and everybody can do that, but within us, we can come up with a number of creative ways to actually help us to unwind and to relax, right? Now, we must also connect with others, especially if we don't have people, because some people have found themselves in the position where they're in their houses alone.
Yeah, that's true.
And that can be devastating if we allow it to be. You know,
yeah, because we are social beings, you know, that need to connect is always there.
Right, so it's important to reach out, you know, accept calls, call people, chat with a bit. We've got a whole lot of, we've got all the FaceTime and the Zoom and all that that we can use. It's not the same, but I tell you, to see a smile, the smiling face of somebody who you haven't seen for a little while.
Yes. It really
like
does something for you.
Sunshine, it does. It brightens your heart. So we need to take care of things like that and utilize stuff like that. Now, we spoke a little bit earlier about helping others in the community and all that, and that is critically important, because helping others helps us as well, because we are supposed to be your brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm. And that also brings that sunshine into your heart, having done a good deed for somebody
Absolutely.
Else, even if it's a simple phone call to somebody to say, you know, I'm thinking of you, hope you're doing well, or cooking a meal for somebody and delivering it curbside.
Or delivering some shopping or something
yes.
to them when they don't have that smile of, you know, that smile of relief and gratitude and stuff. It warms you, so you are happy. They're happy, and that is really fine, because it's important to be happy, to know. We all crave for purposeful activity, and that's a purposeful activity.
Right? That's true.
Now, and we were talking about connecting with others by the telephone, by email, you know, text messages, whatever else, you know, and making sure that our loved ones are safe. Right now, it's important too, and I just want, because this is if we have persons within our households or within our community who may not be in the best of health, we need to be aware of the medications they're taking, how they're taking them, and the stocks. We have to monitor the supplies and stuff, if they need things for incontinence, wound care, all that. We need to get all those things together and make sure that we have enough non-perishable foods and stuff that we can feed them and ourselves. It's important, right? It's important. I know I said that preference right now, the whole thing is not preference, but there are some special diets that need to be adhered to, or you can create problems with the person's health system.
Yeah, that is true. So we have to be careful and cautious about the things that we are eating ourselves, but also those
Absolutely.
Who are in our care. And in our last minute, Lennox, mm-hmm. one thing that you want the listeners to take home, well, they're already home, so to keep at home with them, one thing.
It is important to take care of you. Your physical, your emotional, your finance ought to take care of you, your health, so that you can then take care of the people who are in your care effectively. Right? And remember, we are all role models. And people will be watching how you manage this situation. So we've got to make sure that we are the best we can be, because we don't want to be sending messages to people which end up with them being in danger.
Lennox, I just wish to say again a big thank you for coming and sharing with us about coping with COVID. We're going to be having some more discussions for maybe one or two more shows about COVID-19. And we want to thank you once again. Thank you for taking the time out to share with us. You continue to be safe as well. As you
thank
form part
you.
Of the essential workers, you continue to be safe, because we want you to be around for a long time to come.
And I want to be around, so I'm paying very, very close attention to being safe. My wife probably thinks I'm a little bit fatalistic, but common sense prevails.
You take good care. And to you, all of our listeners, it has been our pleasure bringing you again the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. Ronnie?
Yes?
Yes, it has been a pleasure having you over there. You've been a bit quiet, but I knew that you were there.
I've been paying attention and listening carefully.
Very well,
Ronnie. Continue to be safe and take care of yourself. Until next time, have a good night.